It is Thursday morning, so you know what happens. And now, the Bagpipe Brothers, Michael Giddens and Alex Bauman. Welcome in, the Bagpipe Brothers, blowing and a-going.
Going, going, gone.
Yeah, which one of you's blowing and which one of you's going?
I told you, I've been gone.
You're right. You have been gone for a long time. Listen, bracketology. Who's still heading in?
I don't know what the status of our picks are last week, but I think it's safe to say we all didn't fare too well.
I did okay, but now the one that really messed me up was Clemson. I had them going a long way, but. Let's talk about what we do have, and we've got three segments to talk about, four games. So let's cut to the chase in two of them, okay? And we'll start with the first games that are going to be today, as we're talking about Thursday. Bauman, your Bama boys, BYU. Do they have trouble? What's going to happen?
BYU is just as good as offensively as Alabama is. Stat-wise, Bama is better, but BYU's in the top 10 just like Alabama is. So it's going to be an offensive battle, much different than their Sweet 16 matchup for Alabama with St. Mary's, who was just grinded out defensively. Let's run 20 seconds off the shot clock before we even put a shot up. So a different pace of play you're going to be playing against for Alabama. But for BYU, the size is a big issue for them. They're big men. The tallest one is 6'9". They have a 6'6 center that plays. Funny enough, his last name is Traore, who Auburn fans are familiar with, the last name Traore, Johan Traore. So there is some size difficulties for BYU going into the game, and Alabama has shown this tournament they love to throw the lob pass. Mark Sears, LeBaron Filon, Aiden Holloway. I mean, in the St. Mary's game at one point, it was just Lob City. It was almost like watching Florida Gulf Coast that one year, just back and forth lobs, so that size could be a big issue for BYU.
I'm going to say this, and I certainly don't want to kind of tell Nate Oates how to coach. He is much better at it than I am, but if Alabama shoots a lot of threes in here and do not go inside to their big men, they're going to have trouble. They don't need to. It's like you said, they've got a distinct height advantage in this game. Use it, but that's not Alabama's style. So if they're not hitting three-pointers, who knows? Giddens, what do you think about this one?
I mean, it's an interesting game. I think, I would say typically in college basketball, a team breaks 100 points, they're going to win the game. But in this one, the loser may have 100 points. I mean, this is going to be a high-octane offensive game. I think Alabama has been absolutely dominant inside offensively through the first weekend. But I wonder if Nate Oates in the back of his mind's thinking, I got to get my team going from three, because you can win this game inside, but if you match up with a Duke or an Arizona, I don't know if that success, especially Duke, will come as much inside. You've got to start hitting your threes against a team like that in the Elite Eight. So is Nate thinking, hey, I got to figure out a way to get my team back on pace, back to their three-point average for the season, or do I just survive in advance and then take the next game however it comes? But I don't see Alabama making it out of this region if they don't start hitting threes the way they're accustomed to. However, I originally had in my terrible bracket St. Mary's beating Alabama and then BYU beating St. Mary's.
You did hear him say my terrible bracket.
Yeah. My terrible bracket, but it may still be better than both of y'all's terrible brackets.
I don't think so.
We have to go back and look. But
you'll end up owing Ernie's hot dog.
We'd be even then. I'd have BYU advancing over Alabama in this game.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Well, what about you, Bauman? Who's going to win?
I have Alabama, but Giddens talked about it a little bit, that three-point shooting, Mark Sears is 1-for-9 from three-point in this tournament so far, and if he cannot shoot the ball well, you have LeBaron Filon looking timid at times. He didn't make a shot in the first round and was 2-for-8 in the second round. So if your two starting guards cannot contribute anything from the three-point line, then you're going to be in for a big issue against a BYU team where the strength of their team is their guards. Denham, Richie Saunders, Hall. I mean, they have a plethora of very talented guards that if Alabama doesn't have Sears and Filon and Holloway, who Holloway's probably been the most effective guard in the tournament so far, if they can't get them going and the centers aren't doing what they need to do, Alabama will be in for a struggle. But I have Alabama getting the win here just based on having the experience of Nelson and Mark Sears from last tournament run and just the way they've played all season long.
So you're saying Alabama. He's saying BYU, so I guess I'm the deciding vote here. Don't depend on me, but I'm going to go on and tell you now, you know I'm an Auburn fan, and I don't say this because I don't like Alabama, but I think Alabama moves on, but I'm going to tell you why they move on. They would not have beaten St. Mary's if Nate Oates didn't insert Nelson into that game. I'm sorry. It might not show up great in the stats, but what he did rebounding defensively, getting fouls, and getting the points that he did, Nelson is the key to this game. They don't have anybody, I say they, BYU don't have an answer for Nelson. They may have an answer for Mark Sears somewhat. They got an answer for Phylon because their guard play is excellent. They don't have an answer for Nelson. And he's a guy that you have to guard on the three-point line. He can hit them. And you have to guard him on the inside too. So, and I think Nelson, if Nelson gets to the foul line at least 10 times in this game, Alabama wins.
Funny enough, the best three-point shooter for Alabama in the tournament thus far has been Mo Diabate. He was four for four.
Yeah.
I was going to say that the answers that I don't see BYU having if Alabama's to win this game is for Cliff Amore and Mo Diabate. That's the two tougher matchups, yeah, I think, for them. But I think BYU
you pick BYU from
the get-go. I have BYU in the national championship game because I think they've gotten hot at the right time. There's only one team in this whole tournament that I think a BYU fan doesn't really want to see, and that's Houston. Houston has absolutely had BYU's number all year, but BYU has shown they can compete with everybody else. I think I just think that BYU is going to be hot and hit the threes.
All right, so Gidden says BYU, Bauman and I say Alabama. Let's talk. Let's stay in the East before we go to the next two segments. In the East, we'll talk about this one real quickly because I don't think it's going to be a game. Everybody wants to talk about Florida. Florida struggled with Connecticut, but, hey, Connecticut's two-time defending national champion. I told you they would struggle with them, okay? However, we'll talk Florida in a few minutes. And I brought up Florida because everybody wants to talk about them being the best team in the tournament. Best team in the tournament right now is the Duke Blue Devils. I'm sorry. I don't like them. I don't want them to win. I'm not a Duke fan. Everybody knows I pull for North Carolina and ACC, but right now Duke is playing better than anybody in this tournament, and I think they have no problem with Arizona.
I saw a crazy stat that I'm pretty sure I saw it correctly. This is the first time ever that a team in the Sweet 16 leads the – of all the 16 teams in the Sweet 16, they are the top team in terms of points scored total and the top team in terms of least amount of points allowed combined. Wow. Through the first two games. Wow. It's hard to believe that that's the case, but Duke has been playing a complete game both sides of the ball. And, I mean, yeah, first game, Mount St. Mary's. I mean, you know, they should put some damage on the board there. But then to command the game from about the 12-minute mark in the first half on against Baylor was really impressive. And Baylor's a quality team out of, in my opinion, the second-best conference in college basketball this year. So I think Duke is well equipped to make a deep run. However, they got to play Caleb Love.
They're kryptonite.
All right, so you're picking Duke?
I'm picking Arizona.
Oh my god.
Caleb Love goes for 35 and Arizona beats Duke. And Arizona
he can score 135 and they're not winning.
Arizona has played really good basketball besides that first stretch against Oregon. They have played everybody was picking Akron as this sleeper pick in the tournament. Arizona beat them by 40 and then
they should beat Akron by 40. They're named the Zips. Yeah,
and then I'm saying Oregon comes out and punches Arizona in the mouth up 19-4 and then from that point on Arizona just rolled away with that game until the very end. But Arizona is a very capable team. They've got great shooters. They can keep up with Duke in the scoring. And I just think Caleb Love's got Duke number. I mean,
what's he been eating from the wharf?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It smells kind of fishy. Okay. But hey, listen, he's been good with some picks, but I hate to tell him. I just don't think that one's going to happen. Who you think?
As much as I hate Duke, despise everything they stand for, Duke puke, I mean, I'm going to take the Blue Devils. The experience of a guy in Tyrese Proctor who's been there before, you have young guys, Cooper Flagg, the best freshman in the country. Arizona is just too reliant on a guy in Caleb Love offensively. I just don't think if you put a guy in Tyrese Proctor on him or Zion James, he had that lockdown defender on Caleb Love, and he doesn't have the ability to score the 30 points. Arizona doesn't have the talent around Caleb Love to drop the points they're going to need to keep up with Duke. So
I'm going to make a point real quick before we go to this next segment, but about this tournament. And I'm not saying that they get preferential treatment from the rest, but at one time the other day in that Duke-Baylor game, Duke had shot 18 free throws to Baylor's 2. If Cooper Flagg goes to the free throw line 10 or more times, they're not losing no matter who they play. I'm just telling you. They get the calls, and they're Duke. I get it. But also, without you guys looking at your bracket, I want you to look at me, because we all agreed, I think all three of us agreed when this thing started, that the Midwest was the toughest region. Don't look down at your bracket. Did you know that the Midwest is the only bracket
chalk
that is 1, 2, 3, and 4?
chalk
in the Sweet 16.
And the thing about it is, it is, and the 4 seed's got the home court advantage.
Yeah, Purdue, but I don't like them. I tell you, Houston's playing pretty well, too. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We've got 2 other games to preview for tonight. We'll do that when we come back with the Bagpipe Brothers. All right, the Bagpipe Brothers are here with me, and we're talking bracketology. Whose bracket is still intact? Whose is not? I think mine was shot when they threw up the first ball. Listen, 2 more games. We'll talk about one of them right here. How about the Gators and the Terrapins? Not a lot of difference between a Gator and a Terrapin, but there's a lot of difference between these two basketball teams. Bauman, this is your segment. What do you think?
Yeah, the difference between these two teams is going to be depth. Florida, I mean, it's just everywhere for them. Maryland, you go 5 deep. You have 2 guys maybe come off the bench and give you a spark. But outside of the 5 starters for Maryland, there's not a whole lot of scoring. And Florida, they're going to get up and down, try to score 100 on you, similar to what Alabama does. And Maryland just does not have the depth and the conditioning to keep up with a team like Florida for 40 minutes of basketball.
I'm going to throw some at you, Giddens, and I want to get you to expound on this, because I really believe in this. You know, a lot of people talk about momentum, okay? Well, let's talk about the SEC tournament. Florida really just ran that tournament. I mean, they really weren't close. And then they get into the NCAA tournament. They win their first game big. But I think they needed a game like UConn to come along where it was a nail-biter. I mean, let's be honest, UConn really led that game all the way up to the last 3 minutes of that contest. Do you think that's going to help Florida going forward here?
I think just always finding a way to win is going to help, but you want to talk about momentum. Maryland's going to gather some momentum from really the only buzzer beater of the whole tournament so far. It may have been against a 12 seed, but anytime you win in that fashion, that kind of elevates you, especially at the start of the next game in this tournament setting. If Maryland comes out quick, Florida could be in trouble, but I still think Florida, when they're healthy, their experience, their depth, they are the best team in the country. I mean, you got to think their lull during the season was without Walter Clayton, at least 100% Walter Clayton. When they've got him and when they've got all their big guys going at you, I mean, here's the thing. This Maryland team is really talented, but they call them the Crab 5 for a reason. They're like the Fab 5 back in the day at Michigan.
No, they're not.
But they're in Maryland, so they're like crab cakes.
These 5 crabs won't go in the NBA draft like the Fab 5 did in Michigan. I'm sorry.
Probably not. But
no, they are probably. They won't.
They are pretty talented. And Derek Queen will go somewhere pretty high.
I think he'll be, yep. Nah, I don't know about that. I think he'll be top 15, top 20. But you're right. I mean, he's very talented. But one thing I do like, and it was explicitly, but in the huddle, he told him to give him the ball. I like a player to be confident like that. He had the audacity to say, hey, I'm either going to win it for us or I'm going to lose it for us. And he won it. Give Colorado State a lot of credit. But now let's talk about this, too. You're talking about Maryland. They did not play very well in the Big Ten tournament, okay? And then they get Grand Canyon in the first round of this NCAA tournament. That's kind of, you know, 4-13, you know, took care of them. But Colorado State really, really deserved to win that game the other day. Now, they didn't, and that's all that matters. But I just think Florida's going to be too much. What do you guys think?
I'm picking Florida in this, but I'm just saying don't be surprised by Maryland hanging around for a large portion of this game. That, I mean, the Big Ten, in terms of metrics, second-best conference in the country this year, and they were at or near the top of it the whole time. Maryland is very good. The interesting thing about this is these two teams traveling all the way across the country for this game. It's a weird time slot for them, 4:30 local time on a Thursday. We saw it last year with Clemson, Arizona. I think everybody going to that game in that Los Angeles regional was thinking Arizona's going to cakewalk in this thing. And then it just didn't happen.
And if Florida were to win, we discussed this off the air real quickly before we go to the next segment. If Florida wins this game, they're going to have a week. I mean, if they win this region, they're going to have a week off before they play in the Final Four. Do they go all the way from California to back to Gainesville and then go all the way back to San Antonio halfway across the country, again, more than halfway again? Or do they just take a short flight, get their rest, order their pizza, and be done with it? I mean, that's a question you got to ask yourself. I mean, you look at like Auburn. If Auburn were to make it to the Final Four, I mean, they're driving an hour and a half home Sunday evening, and they've still got 6 days, and they're home.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama will be in the same way.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, Newark.
I don't know.
If Maryland wins, do they get crab cakes and just stay in San Antonio, or do they get raw oysters, or do they get lobster tail?
They get the raw deal, I'll tell you that. I mean, I'll tell you what, if Maryland wins this game, I'll pick them the rest of the way. I think they'd have a chance to get all the way to the championship game if they win this game. But
I mean, if you beat any of the top four seeds, this has been a very, very, very good year for the one seeds.
Well, and I mean, let's look at this. On the South and the West, which would be matched up together in the Final Four, if you beat Florida, don't everybody think right now that on the left side of this bracket that Florida's the best team left in it? Wouldn't you say that, Bauman?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the Auburn's number one overall seed. Florida's playing the best.
Exactly. So if Maryland gets the upset here, they can go all the way. I don't think they would beat Duke. I really don't. But we'll see. We'll see how it happens tonight. And we've got one more game, and I saved this one for last because I want to talk about it last with the Bagpipe Brothers. Bagpipe Brothers joining me in here on a Thursday morning. Alex Bauman, it's his segment along with Michael Giddens. Now we're going to talk about the last game of this bracket going on tonight. Nobody wanted to give me a little credit. I tried to tell you that the Barking Spiders would move on past the two coaches and St. John's. He did it. I'm telling you now, it's taken him 3.5 months through all of the injuries they've had. Caleb was a great recruiter at Kentucky. He should have won way more than one national championship. I get it. But the man still knows how to coach in this tournament. And the Arkansas Razorbacks have, to me, a date with Texas Tech that they can really see themselves get to the Elite Eight. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, Woo Pig Suey, give me the hogs is what I'm going to say.
Barbecue at its best, baby. You're going to roast the hogs, aren't you?
I don't even know who to pick in this one because I had Drake and St. John's in 2016.
About his bracket.
I had Missouri and St. John's, so I'm not doing much better.
I like what both teams do. I mean, Texas Tech is going to chunk up some threes. That's what they're going to do. They're going to throw up a whole lot of threes, and they're going to try to play good defense with Grant McCaslin. On the other hand, I think Arkansas is figuring themselves out in this roster at the right time. They kind of remind me of Kansas, except their coach finally figured it out at the right time, and like Bill Self,
that's right,
didn't figure it out in time. But their transfer portal acquisitions, it took some time to gel, but they've had their moments throughout the season, and this is a very winnable game for Arkansas.
But you're going to go with the Red Raiders.
I just know that McCaslin is going to lock down defensively against Arkansas, and you know, Calipari's never been big on his team shooting a bunch of threes and getting to a three-point shooting contest. So as long as Texas Tech doesn't go ice cold, I think Tech wins this game.
Well, St. John's didn't go ice cold, and they tried the same strategy, and they're at home.
Yeah, but St. John's and Kansas both aren't the high-volume three-shooting teams Texas Tech
is. But St. John's is a much better basketball team than Texas Tech.
I'm a better defensive team, that's for sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
But Texas Tech isn't shabby defensively.
I didn't say that, but I'm telling you now, I just believe that this is a good path. I think Cal is getting it together. And here's the big thing. They've had 6 days to get over that big win against St. John's. Everybody want to talk about Cal versus Patino, Patino versus Cal. I get it. That's been 6 days ago, time they take the court tonight.
Do you think R.J. Lewis is over getting benched 6 days ago?
I don't know. He hadn't entered the portal yet, so we'll see.
But I'm going to tell you this. I just believe that Arkansas wins this game. You're saying Red Raiders.
I'm going Texas Tech.
And you're saying Hogs.
I'm saying the Hogs just based on the fact that I watched the entirety of that St. John's game, and in that first half, the St. John's center was just eating Kentucky alive. And in that second half
– You mean Arkansas.
Arkansas, sorry. I'm used to Cal. But in that second half, Arkansas, they just – clamped down on that center, and he was had no effect in that second half. And Texas Tech is so reliant on JT Toppin, who's also a big guy, that if Arkansas can play the defense they played against Ejiofor, the big man for St. John's, then Texas Tech will struggle a whole lot, because outside of JT Toppin, they have a guy in McMillan, but he's been struggling with injuries and hadn't been playing up to the way we know he could play. But Arkansas, you get Adu Thierro back from injury.
Yep.
That's a huge. That's the biggest thing ever.
It's a big deal.
Leading scorer on the year, veteran leader. You got Nellie Davis, who was on FAU's team a couple of years ago, who made the Final Four. So you got the veterans. You got a guy that's been there before, and you're prepared for the moment.
And remember, Thierro, he came with Cal. It was a package deal. But let me say this. I pick Arkansas to win this game for one reason and one reason only. Hey, you can talk at Big 12 smack all you want to. They're a great conference. They got great teams. But Arkansas is battle-tested. When you played in the SEC this year, you're ready for these type games. Cal can get them up. They'll be ready. They've had 6 days to prepare for this. I like the Hogs.
Hey, Texas Tech, the only team in the Big 12 regular season that beat Houston without JT Toppin, who got ejected 5 minutes into that game. They're fine with a defensive slugfest. I mean, like I said, they're not shabby defensively, but they've changed their persona from the Beard days of being really defensive to now being more of a team that's also trying to attack you from the three-point line. I think that the biggest thing for Arkansas, where you've seen a change in this team, is Nellie Davis. He has been playing a lot more off ball recently. And, you know, even at his time at FAU, he seemed to be the point guard the majority of the time, and then he's been the point guard this year. But moving him to the two has been effective for Arkansas late in the season. We'll see how that translates.
Well, I just want to throw this out there. There's some great teams in the Big 12. I don't want to douse that. But in the SEC, look at how Auburn played South Carolina. Look at how LSU played Alabama. When you played in the SEC this year, you better have it laced up if you're playing Vanderbilt or who else? Georgia. They're all tournament teams with the exception of LSU and South Carolina. When you get to the bottom feeders of the Big 12, they're not very good. That's why I say battle-tested from January 1st till right now, which is a little over 3 months, okay? Or 2 months, almost three. I just think night in, night out, Arkansas has played the kind of competition that's going to help them win this game.
Speaking of SEC games, you know, nothing terrifies me more as an Auburn fan. I know we'll talk more about it tomorrow.
I know what you're going to say.
Ole Miss winning and Auburn playing Ole Miss for a fourth time this year, and Auburn having beaten them twice in the regular season and once in the SEC tournament, and then losing to them in the NCAA tournament.
And
nothing would make me angrier than that scenario playing
out. And the SEC tournament really was a struggle against Ole Miss until a minute to go in that game when we really took over.
Beat them by 30 points at home, but yeah, you could very well lose to them in a fourth game.
We're not playing Friday night.
They got to worry about Michigan first, you know.
No, I know. And they got to worry about Michigan State, who I think is a dark horse in this whole thing. But nevertheless, that's going to be our picks for tonight. And these Backpipe brothers will be back tomorrow morning, and we're going to talk about the other games. So real quick, Bauman picked Bama, he picked Duke, he picked Florida, and he picked Arkansas, correct?
Correct. We picked.
I went against the grain on everything except for Florida.
Florida. I went with you on everything. I'm Duke, Bama, I'm Florida, and I'm Sue Piggy. Giddens is out the door. I mean, it's just, he took BYU. He's a Mormon.
It carries over from football. You know, I rooted for him in football, and we're going to root for him in basketball too.
That's right. You remember he was the one that said that they needed to be home in the first playoff game.
Yeah,
where were their playoffs? At home. Playing golf on the Nintendo. We're going to turn our attention to the other two brackets. Okay. We're going to go first to the Midwest, where it's chalk, baby. Y'all said it yesterday, 1-4. And we'll try to do this a little quicker because I know we don't want to, you know, bore everybody. But some people like Bauman's predictions on these things. He's pretty good. All right. First of all SEC. And by the way, 7 SEC teams in the Sweet 16. 7. At first, they were saying we might get 12. You know, back when the SEC was doing so good, I said, nah, you won't get that many. It's hard, but 7's pretty doggone good. I mean, we got more than half the field, or right at half the field. All right, first game on tap happening UK and Tennessee. Does Mark Pope get it done, or does Tennessee continue their dominance of Big Blue?
Kentucky this year has beat Tennessee all times they've played them. You look at the way the Wildcats have been playing since getting Lamont Butler back. They have shifted their defense to being a million times better. If I'm not mistaken, they're top 10 in the defensive efficiency rating. You get him back. You have guys that have had to play because of injuries on the bench right now. I just think Kentucky, Amari Williams is so talented at the center position. Kobe Bray was on a heater against Illinois in the round of 32. Kentucky's just too much for Tennessee to handle. I'm not a big Tennessee guy when it comes to their offense. If Chaz Lanier cannot get going and Sky Ziegler struggles with turnovers like we know he can do, and Jordan Ganey off the bench doesn't drop 20 to bail out one of those guys when they struggle, Kentucky just has too many options where if one guy struggles, they can pick it up, where Tennessee doesn't have that many to pick up a struggle.
What do you think, Giddo? All SEC?
I mean, Alex is right. You know, both times they played this year, Kentucky's gotten the dub. But they say in any sport, but in basketball too, it's hard to beat a team three times, four times, however many times you play them. Once you've beaten them a few times, you know, Tennessee's going to come out with something to prove here. You know, not only is their season on the line, but we got to beat this team that's had our number twice. I think that Tennessee puts the clamps down defensively. Mayshak, Ziegler, they come out, they do what they need to do. Lanier has started out games so hot in the NCAA tournament, and I think he'll pick up where he left off. And I think, you know, this region holds true to how it's been so far. It's been chalk, and it continues that way. The 2 seed beats the 3 seed. Tennessee advances.
I think senior leadership's going to help Tennessee. I think Ziegler is very good, especially defensively. He didn't get the credit that he really deserves defensively, but I'll tell you this. Instead of Chaz Lanier, I think it's going to be Ganey that steps up and really does some good things early on this game. Give me Tennessee.
Also, Tennessee is, I think, second of the Sweet 16 teams in Torvik rating for defensive efficiency so far. So they are so consistent with how they play defense, and I just can't imagine Kentucky sweeping them this year.
I think it's going to be hard for them too. And another thing is Tennessee, the one thing they've been used to this year, Tennessee, is they've had played a lot of their big games on the road, and that's going to help them because Kentucky people are going to travel, okay? Kentucky people will be at half of that arena tonight. All right, let's talk about the other game real quick. I don't think this one – hey, listen, Purdue – you look around that locker room, you don't see Zach Edey. I'm sorry.
If you did hard to see miss him,
if he was,
he'd probably be, his head be sticking through the roof.
That's true, and he'd probably have a hot dog in his mouth because he's not playing. Sorry, he's not coming out of the locker room. I don't think this one's even close. I think Houston wins. Their defense is just too good. Listen, and I know Braden Smith is good, but Houston's guards are really, really good.
Yeah, Trey Kaufman, he's a different type of big man, but he's been a good big man for Purdue this year, but not to the dominance of Zach Edey. And meanwhile, Braden Smith, you know, Braden Smith is a Jekyll and Hyde player. Sometimes I watch him and I'm like, man, he's one of the best players in the country. And then sometimes I watch him and I'm like, I think I can hold on to the ball better than Braden Smith in a pressure situation. He just turns it over like crazy during stretches. It's wild to me to watch Braden Smith play. If good and Braden Smith shows up, he can keep Purdue in this game, which is going to be kind of feeling like a home game in Indianapolis. If the turnover-prone Braden Smith shows up, Houston will blow the doors off of Purdue.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
I think it'll be a mixture. I think he'll have stretches where he plays good basketball, but the bad stretches are just going to put Purdue down too much where they can't recover. I think Houston wins this game by 10 to 15 points.
I'm with you. Houston by, I'd say, at least 15. What do you think?
I'm taking Houston. Again, talked about it, Braden Smith, the inconsistency there. Fletcher Lawyer, who's also one of their main guys, inconsistent all tournament, hadn't been shooting the three ball well. Been a heavy reliance on Trey Kaufman-Wren to win them games. In the first round against High Point, he was a big factor against McNeese. Also a big factor when Braden Smith was turning the ball over. And in this game, Houston has the guys that can take a guy in Kaufman-Wren out of the game. Juwan Roberts and Tugler, they're two big men. I mean, they're just going to take him completely out of the basketball game. And I don't have the faith in Braden Smith or Fletcher Lawyer to be able to say, okay, we can't get the ball inside, we can't score in there, let me start shooting some three-pointers, because both those guys are way too inconsistent and hot and cold, and Houston has the guards that'll make him cold.
All right, so we're all three Houston. We split on UK and Tennessee. Bauman says UK. Giddens and I both say Tennessee. All right, now, let's go to the South here. The ATL, State Farm Arena. How about Michigan State and Old Miss? Giddens, you go.
By the way, this is just a great mixture of teams in this region, by the way.
It really is.
I mean, in Atlanta, you're going to have Michigan and Michigan State fans just rabid against each other. I mean, every Michigan State fan there is going to be an Auburn fan. Just like every Michigan fan that sticks around, win or lose, is going to be pulling for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Auburn and Ole Miss, we can't be any more familiar with each other this basketball season. I mean, there's probably fans there that have seen each other more than they'd like to count. And if you're a family that split Auburn-Ole Miss, you can't even watch this game because of the fact that you've already seen it three times this year. It's you get tired of watching the same movie over and over. Auburn and Michigan in the second game, right? Isn't that the second game? The first game's Ole Miss.
Yeah, the last game of the night is Auburn and Michigan.
Which, by the way, is going to be a start time of 8:39 Central Time.
Yes.
9:39, and you know how it is. They put this time on here. It'll be a little bit later than
that. It'll be 10 o'clock.
It'll be practically 10 o'clock, if not after it, local time, before this game even starts. So I hope you drank a lot of coffee during the day or whatever your elixir is.
8:39.
Well, for Atlanta,
it'll be 10. But they don't care. All right, tell me. Are Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Giddens, who wins?
I'm going to go with Ole Miss. I think that Michigan State, by the way, breakout star of the tournament for me is Cohen Carr. Watching him play is just highlight reel after highlight reel of him just doing fundamental basketball stuff, much less when he actually goes up for an alley-oop or stuff. So much hustle and determination from him, and really pops up when you need him to. But Ole Miss, according to Torvik right now, playing the third best defense and the most efficient offense of all the Sweet 16 teams, even more efficient than Duke. Ole Miss cannot be stopped from the three-point line. Sean Padula is a man possessed right now. And I just think Michigan State, that was a really close call against New Mexico, where I think they got a lot of calls go in their favor. I just feel like Ole Miss is the team with the light shining on them right now. Ole Miss somehow pulls this off, six seed advances to the Elite Eight.
Bauman, who you got?
Go Sparty. I'm taking Tom Izzo. Can't bet against him in March right now. I know this team's not the most talented team in the world for him. Jaden Akins is the senior leader for him. Jace Richardson has been a star for Michigan State all year. Fears Jr., funny enough, he's the brother of Jeremiah Fears, so you got that connection. Cohen Carr, Trey Holloman. I just love the way Michigan State plays basketball, grind it out. They like to get out and run. They like to turn you over. They run you off the three-point line. And like Michael was just talking about, Ole Miss loves to rely on that three-point shot. And Michigan State is just the kryptonite to them, I think, in this matchup where they're just going to run them off the three-point line and force them to take shots they don't want to take. And I'm going to take Sparty to advance past Ole Miss.
All right. The Rebels lost the Civil War. Michigan State's north of the Mason-Dixon line. Give me the Sparties here, and I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons. Two reasons.
That means we're losing to Michigan.
No. I said in this matchup.
Oh, okay.
You didn't listen. You're too busy worried about where you're going to eat and what you're going to eat.
I am hungry right
listen,
now.
Listen, this matchup comes down to two things. I'm not saying that Chris Beard is not because he's an excellent coach. But you got a coach on the other side who has won this tournament several times, he's probably got more Final Four appearances than I would say anybody in this tournament except maybe Cal, okay? That's left in it, okay? And I'm just going to tell you, their depth is going to be the reason of this game. They've got much more quality depth than Ole Miss. Now, the one thing that Ole Miss has got going for them, they've beaten two very good basketball teams, in my opinion, just to get to this point in North Carolina and then Iowa State.
I would know if I consider North Carolina.
listen, I know y'all didn't want them in the tournament, but nobody wanted
I wanted them in the tournament. I just didn't want to see what they did in the tournament.
But nobody wanted to play them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're blue blood. Okay, but I just think – I think Ole Miss Cinderella run stops on tonight. I just do. Now, second game coming up, I'll go first on this one. I don't think there's any way we let this get by us here. I really believe that the Auburn Tigers, right here on Kicks 100.3, I'm not even going to watch the game. I'm going to listen to Andy Burcham's call right here. Right here. Okay? Bruce Pearl, I think you'll have him ready. We have not played Auburn basketball. You two will agree with this. Since maybe the 1st of March. Really?
I like the second half against Creighton.
I said you said the second half. I'm talking about a complete game. I really believe that this is the game that we break out. I really do. If we're healthy, CBM's got to be healthy. He's got to keep his elbows to his side, not get in trouble. But our guards yielded us to victory over Creighton. I mean, is that not true? Okay. We got some good scoring from those guys. But I'm going to tell you this. I think this is the game that our man, Jani Broome, you got the jersey. He'll break out and have the game that propels him to be the National Player of the Year. I think he has a good game against Michigan. I like the way Michigan's playing. I really do. But I think this is a game where Auburn breaks out. Now, the next game against Michigan State bothers me. It does. But I think we get by Michigan.
I think this game bothers me to a certain extent. You talk about the guards being the reason Auburn won, but this week, tonight, you've got a incredible front court battle between Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell against Danny Wolf and Vladislav Golden. And then, you know, Chaney Johnson's going to come in and impact the game, as well as chatter for Michigan. So at this point, it's who stays out of foul trouble, who makes an impact down low, and who's – this is the thing that really frustrates me about the Creighton game is a lot of people are saying online that Broome didn't play a good game. Broome played exactly the game that Auburn needed to win that game, because when you got Ryan Kalkbrenner, one of the greatest shot blockers in NCAA history in the other jersey, playing against him, you don't want Broome living down low when he does have the ability to extend the court, open up the space for driving for the guards who had such a good game because of that. Broome against, even though they're 2 7-footers, they're not quite the level of Ryan Kalkbrenner, obviously. So he's going to be able to do more work in the paint, but I just what scares me is them rotating over and helping each other. Broome's best asset is going to be drawing attention from them and then passing to hopefully –
Broome's best part of his game is assist right now.
Yeah, I mean –
You're leading, walking right into it.
Leading assist man for Auburn. And his ability to draw people inside to him and then dish to a guard open three or to one of his other big men counterparts beside him. But I don't think his finishing at the rim is going to be the most important aspect of this game. But I will think that in order for Auburn to win, he's going to have more of a presence inside. Meanwhile, his presence outside beyond the three-point line was what helped Auburn win that game.
So who wins?
I've got Auburn winning this game.
All right. Bauman, you've been smiling the whole time like a mule eating grass.
Well, you look, Taha Pettifer, 23 points against Creighton. Denver Jones, 15, made the big and one that kind of iced the cake for him. Mazzara left with an injury but dropped 17. But the big X factor in that game was Dylan Cardwell. Absolutely. I thought that was the best game I've ever seen Dylan Cardwell play in an Auburn uniform. He might not have had 10 rebounds and 10 points, but the effect he had on Kalkbrenner, his ability to switch out and guard Ashworth and McAndrew, who were given Auburn fits in that first half, was the big reason Auburn was able to get out with the win against Creighton. And if we had the Dylan Cardwell that played against Creighton, this will be an easy game for Auburn. But if we get the Dylan Cardwell that picks up two early fouls, gets in foul trouble, it's going to be a struggle because Chaney Johnson struggled a whole lot against Ryan Kalkbrenner in the post. And I don't think you can have Broome and Chaney Johnson play that entire game against Wolf and Golden, because Golden is shifty in the post. Danny Wolf is crafty on the perimeter with his spin dribble he loves to use and his passing, which is up there with Jonathan Broome for big man. And then you look at Michigan's guards, Donaldson. You had Gale off the bench. You had a freshman and Kaysen come off the bench as well, who were big for them in their round of 32 matchup. And Dusty May has more recently been to the Final Four than Bruce Pearl in 2023 with FAU. Danny Wolf has beat Auburn last year at Yale, so I'm going to take him to get another win against Auburn, and Michigan's going to beat the Tigers.
I know you want that to happen with your beloved Criminal Tide, but I'm just going to tell you this. Michigan struggled with Ohio State this year. Auburn's played one game in State Farm Arena against the Buckeyes, where we were 35 points better than them. So take that. I hope it happens.
The turnabout's fair play. I picked BYU to beat Alabama. You picked Alabama to win, David. But, that's what's going to be fun about this region in particular. You got two heated rivals.
Yeah.
Every Michigan State fan there is just going to be pulling for Auburn so hard. And then if Auburn wins, they'll be pulling for – against Auburn the 2 days later. And meanwhile, every Michigan State fan Michigan fan is going to be pulling for Ole Miss. And then if they beat us and play Ole Miss, they're going to be against us. But I love seeing two rivals at the same region. It's going to be really fun to see that.